I wonder, have you noticed that nowadays young people, lots of young people, seem to have a new part of their school uniform? There is the usual blazer, there's the school tie, and there's the black shoes that are part of every school uniform. But lots of young people nowadays, also as part of the uniform, have earphones. And you see them standing on the bus at the bus stops, or you see them walking to and from school, and they have on earphones or big headphones. And they're listening to music, presumably, downloads, and they're listening to the lyrics of the pop songs of the day. And I was like you as well once, you know. I can still remember words of pop songs that I learned in the 70s and the 80s, and I knew them almost off by heart, many of them, because those are the words that stick in your heads, and those are the words that have an influence upon you. Or listening as well, we do every day to the radio, perhaps. Some of us, the first thing we do in the morning, we switch on the radio. And there's words coming at us from whatever station we're tuned in, or we turn the television on. And there's words coming at us from the television. Or you listen, or you go online maybe, and you're reading words, the online bloggers and their opinions. What are they saying today? And we listen to what politicians are saying or what pop stars are saying. We're listening to their words, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel as if there's a wall of words coming at me day and daily, and I have to filter out those words and say, well, is this right or is that right, or what are these people trying to say to me at this time? It's true also we have teachers. If you're at school, your teachers are speaking to you all the time. Your parents are speaking to you all the time. If you're married, your husband or your wife is speaking to you all the time. And words have an effect upon us. They shape us. Words can make you feel good. Words can make you feel bad. Words can make you feel happy. Words can make you feel sad. Words have effects upon us. They influence us. They make us do things. They make us say things. They make us feel things. Words are very powerful. But here's my question. Who does God say you should be listening to? There's the pop stars, there's the politicians, there's the whatever. But who does God say you should be listening to? That's why I read earlier in Luke's Gospel, this passage in Luke chapter 9, where Jesus has gone up on top of a mountain to pray. He's taken with him three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, who were the kind of inner circle of the disciples. And as they're on top of this mountain, Jesus is praying. We're told that in verse 29, as he was praying, and something happens when Jesus prays, and something happens when we pray. It's in prayer that God moves. It's in prayer that God acts. It's in prayer that God speaks, and God is speaking as Jesus is praying. Some very unusual things happen. His clothes and his face begin to shine as bright as a flash of lightning. We're told that two men appear with him. One is Moses. Moses has been dead 1,500 years. But here he is alive and talking to Jesus. The other is Elijah, who's been dead 1,000 years. And here he is alive and talking to Jesus. And then a cloud descends and envelops everyone on top of the mountain who's there. And the voice from the cloud says this, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Listen to him, says the voice of God. And I want to give you three reasons today why you should listen above all other voices to the voice of Jesus Christ. Because this voice is unique. This voice has something to say that no one else will say to you. This voice, by listening to this voice, will save your soul and bring you to heaven, to eternity, to a place of well-being and peace forevermore. First of all, you should listen to him because of his identity. His identity. Because lots of people, I think, in our day as well, in age as well, are wondering, who is Jesus Christ? Who is this name we hear? I was listening to the Remembrance Day service in, in the Royal Albert Hall last night, and the minister at the end, as he finished in prayer, said, "We pray in the name of Jesus Christ." But are many people present know anything about Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? The clue here is in his clothing, and in this change in his appearance, in his face, which become as bright as a flash of lightning. This is not normal. It might be said of you that you shine at school, or that you shine on the sports field, or that you shine at music, or you shine in business, or you shine at your pastime or your hobby. But to shine visibly from outside of yourself, a light being emitted from inside, that's not normal. But that was Jesus Christ. Sometimes in church we sing the Aaronic blessing, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace." The picture is of God's face beaming down upon his people. It's the face of God shining upon his people. It's the face of God beaming peace and grace to his people. And so when the clothes, and especially the face of Jesus Christ, shines on the mountaintop, it's a marker that here is God beaming on his people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his face upon you and give you peace. It's the face of God shining on Peter and James and John. You see, this man, Jesus Christ, his identity, he is fully man, but he is also fully God. The same in substance, equal in power and glory with God. And he did things that only God can do. He walked on water. He forgave sins. He raised the dead. He calmed storms. There's a window up there and it has, "Peace, be still." Jesus stood in the boat and calmed the storm. Only God can do that. This is why you should listen to him, because he is God. So that's his identity. The second reason you should listen to him is because of his life. "This is my son whom I have chosen." His sinless life. Stories told of a little boy whose mommy was cooking. She'd made some buns. She'd made them with chocolate icing. And she said to him, "You're not allowed one of those buns until after your dinner." And she went upstairs, she had stuff to do, and when she came back, she noticed that one of them was missing, and she noticed that the little boy had chocolate around his mouth. She said to him, "Did you take one of those buns?" "No, Mommy, I didn't take one of those buns." She said, "Well, let's go to the bathroom and let's look in the mirror." And she took him to the bathroom and they looked in the mirror and there was the evidence there. And he stood shamefaced and had to admit he had told a lie. You know, Jesus Christ never had to stand shamefaced because he had told a lie. He never had to stand shamefaced because he had disobeyed his parents, because he never did. He never had to stand shamefaced at any time because he had done something wrong, because he never did anything wrong. The life of Jesus Christ, we're told, was holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Without sin. It's great to see so many people here this morning, from the very youngest to the oldest. But not one of us can say we're without sin. Not one of us. We're all sinners. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ lived an immaculate life. He also had a closeness to God that you and I don't have either. We're told here that Jesus was praying. I've mentioned that already. He is praying to God the Father in heaven. Jesus, God the Son, is on earth. He's praying to God the Father in heaven. He has this closeness to God, this relationship to God. He has this oneness with God that none of us have in and of ourselves. We live in a day and age when many people are rejecting church and organized religion. And they're searching for some sort of a spirituality in inverted commas. But you know, you'll not find any spirituality like the spirituality that Christ had with his Father. There's a oneness. There's a togetherness. There's an integrity. There's an authority. There's an honesty to this relationship between Jesus Christ and his Father in heaven. The world says if you want to find spiritual experiences and spirituality, look inside yourself. Or they say to us, find yourself. Or they say, all the answers are on the inside. No, they're not. They're not. Christ looked to his Father in heaven. I'll tell you this, if Christ needed to look to his Father in heaven as this expression of his relationship of oneness, the same in substance, equal in power and glory, it shows up the poverty of my life, my lack of relationship with God. And my need for a figure to teach me, to show me, to speak to me, to tell me how to find God and what it is to know him. So you should listen to him because of his identity. You should listen to him because of his life. You should also listen to him because of his death. Today is Remembrance Sunday, and we're remembering a lot of deaths. I looked it up last night. In the First World War, 38 million people died. In the Second World War, 60 million people died. In just two wars in the 20th century, 98 million people died. That's a terrifying figure. 98 million. But I'll tell you this, there was no death like the death of Jesus Christ. We read here the verse 32, as Moses and Elijah appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus, they spoke about his departure. The Greek word is the word exodus that it's used there. They spoke about his exit from the world. We've been hearing much in the news about Brexit, Britain leaving the European Union, departing from it, going away from it. Well, Moses and Elijah speak about Christ's exit from this world, his departure. And he's about to leave it. And how is he about to leave it? Well, he's about to leave it on a cross. He's about to be nailed to a cross. He's about to hang upon that cross, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In your place and in my place, condemned he stood. Standing in for you, standing in for me. And that's why Moses and Elijah are here in this passage of Scripture, because they're the Old Testament prophets. Moses was the greatest Old Testament prophet. Elijah was a miracle-working Old Testament prophet. But they both spoke about the Christ to come. The Old Testament prophets spoke about a Messiah who would be born in Bethlehem, who would teach in parables, who would heal in power, who would suffer in silence, who would die in pain, who would rise in triumph. And all these prophets of the Old Testament, some 20 or 30 of them, their books are coming together like spotlights, and they're all pointing at the one man on the stage of history, and they're saying, this man and his death is the means of atoning for sin, and his alone. There's no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. So this is why you should listen to Jesus Christ. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. So those are my three reasons why you should listen to Jesus Christ, his identity, his life, his death. But look at the reactions as we close of the men who were there when they saw this. Verse 32, Peter and his companions were very sleepy. That's amazing. Very sleepy. You know that horrible feeling when your eyes begin to droop and you're thinking, I can't keep my eyes open. That expression, he's got heavy eyes and your eyes feel very heavy and you're just thinking, I just love to go to sleep. I find it amazing that Christ is there before them. His clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. There's a conversation with Moses and Elijah who are back from the dead, and the disciples are asleep. That's how some people respond to Jesus Christ, isn't it? Like Eutychus in Acts chapter 20, who as Paul was preaching, he fell asleep. Trouble was, he was sitting on the windowsill of the third story up. He didn't just fall asleep, he fell off. And he fell to his death. But Paul raised him from the dead. There are no Pauls nowadays. So we've got to be careful when we come into contact with Jesus Christ and the Word of Jesus Christ that we don't fall asleep. It's dangerous. You can sleep your way to hell. The other reaction is in verse 33 where Peter says, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And Luke adds in brackets, he didn't know what he was saying. Peter just has to say something, so he says, let's build little tents. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. As if Jesus is on the level with Moses and Elijah. Great men, godly men. But Jesus is on the level with no one. No one. People today talk about comparative religion and they say that, you know, you've got Muhammad, you've got the Dalai Lama, you've got the Buddha, and you've got Jesus. No, you don't. No, you don't. God says, my glory I will not give to another. Jesus Christ is on a totally different plane to all other men, to all other teachers, to all other religious figures in all of history who've ever been or who ever will be. For there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. His death on the cross is the only salvation. Because God gave his Son to shed his blood for you and for me. There can be no other way that would ever take away from that. So I began by talking about the voices that we're listening to. We're all listening to voices. Doesn't matter who you are today, you're listening to voices and I am listening to voices. Whether it's family members or radio people or whoever it might be, they're all demanding to be heard. But I've given you three reasons why you should listen to this voice of Jesus Christ. This is my Son, says God. God affirms him. This is my Son, whom I have chosen. He's a unique Son of God. Listen to him. That's your responsibility, to listen to him. You hear him by reading the pages of Scripture. You hear him by listening to the Word of God preached. You hear him by praying to him and saying, God, will you speak to me? I want to hear your voice. I want to know what you're saying to me, Lord, in these days. And God is saying to us that we are sinners, that we need to repent. We need to believe on his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we need to receive him into our lives if we would be saved. God is saying, listen to him, hear his word, and do what he is saying to you in these days. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for what you have spoken to us. We thank you that Jesus came and was your word in the flesh, that the word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and full of truth. Help us, Father, we pray, to hear him, to obey him, to discover that he is the treasure of heaven, that he is your gift to us, your free gift. And we thank you, Lord God, that his words are the words of eternal life. For to whom else will we go? But he and he alone speaks those words, which are words of power and words of truth. Continue with us, we pray, Lord, as we bring our service to a conclusion, as we pray these things in his name. Amen.